Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons, it's Christian Arcand, it's Andy Hart, and joining us right now on the hotline, your friend and mine, writes for the Boston Sports Journal. I've been covering the Patriots a while. Mike Giardi joins the program. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Good to have you on. Nice to have you joining us here on this Patriots Friday as we get ready for the Chicago Bears. I want to ask you a question to sort of start things off right now. You heard Gerard Mayo talking about improving as a coach from year one to year two. How would you characterize the first year, Mayo knowing that he was going to be the head coach, and how prepared and ready to do the job you think he was coming into camp in the start of the season?
I think he didn't know what he didn't know, and I think it's generally looked disorganized and wholly unimpressive so far.
Okay. Well, there you go. When he says...
I know this is where you get, but like, that's just how I feel. It's not like, I don't want to say they can't do it, but thus far, neither he nor Alex Van Pelt nor DeMarcus Covington have proved that they're capable of doing the jobs that they're being paid to do right now.
Let me just follow up here then. Did you find his words hollow this morning when he talked about the jump from year one to year two and all the stuff you didn't know and all that other stuff? Did it seem sort of like, well, you should have maybe been a little bit better prepared considering all the notice you had this was going to be your job?
Well, I mean, this is what happens when you choose a guy to be your head coach that hasn't been coaching that long and was never he ran defensive meetings, but he was never the coordinator. Like, you know, it's part of the coaching staff thing too, where you don't have this branch of guys that you know because you haven't been doing it long enough. I don't know that in many other businesses that Robert Kraft lords over that he would have chosen someone with as little experience as he did here.
Do you think there was an expectation, because I think we all believe this was supposed to be a two-year plan that was fast-tracked to a one-year plan because they stunk last year and it all went sideways and it was chaotic. Do you think from Robert's perspective, internally, maybe Gerard's perspective, was there this idea that maybe in year two of this little two-year plan, Bill was going to open up his world to Gerard Mayo the way he did with Josh McDaniels, and that he would have prepared him more for the role he's in, and that didn't happen because it went sideways and Bill stopped talking to him and all that? Like, does Bill bear any responsibility for how ill-prepared Mayo is?
No, because I don't think Bill really did that with Josh. Like, I don't – Joe Judge is the only one that I really know of that he did more for Joe to prepare Joe for an opportunity that he got probably a year too soon and obviously crashed and burned pretty quickly in New York. Mm-hmm. I don't think he really did that for Josh. So I don't think he would have done it for Gerard. I don't think Bill was helping anybody. I think Bill's helping himself.
Yeah, that's probably true. This weekend, it's two rookie quarterbacks. If you could redraft it all over again, do you think the Bears would go with May instead of Williams, or do you think they're happy with what they have in Caleb Williams?
I think that they would probably say the same. I mean, Caleb does some things that are, you know, or did some things coming out of USC that very few guys in the league can do in terms of some of the throws you can make and, you know, the athleticism. Obviously, hasn't been great there, you know, they invested in a guy in Keenan Allen who maybe seems a little bit broken down at this point. The offensive line hasn't been great, which we obviously can relate to here in New England. And then the marriage between the quarterback talent and the guy who's calling the plays. I know that's a Andy Hart guy, but Shane Waldron has not covered himself in glory, let's say, in Chicago.
Quiet. He's a jumbo.
Sorry.
Jumbos for life. Jumbos for
life.
Well,
you know, what do the jumbos win other than lacrosse? You don't win in football. I know that.
Well, we're competitive in football.
They still have a football team, even?
Yes, we're 6-2.
Whoa,
get the hell out of here.
Whoa, 6-2, man.
That's a good record.
What conference?
The NESCAC. It's an academic conference.
You lost, call it. You lost to Trinity. That's all I know.
Screw you, Trinity. I asked, I'm going to recycle a question. I don't know if you're supposed to do that in this radio business, but I'm kind of new to this whole
you're
thing,
not.
So I'm just going to wing it. So I asked.
Are you host one or host two?
Oh, I'm host two. He's host,
host two's going off the rails here.
I don't know if you're aware, Mike Giardi, I am also the heartbeat of Boston sports radio, mm-hmm. according to at least one caller who we had earlier. So I'll sniff at that. but I asked Tom Curran, what do we do the rest of the year? Like, where do we go from here? Because it feels like everybody wants to talk draft and offseason and Elliot Wolf. And even Gerard Mayo's talking about what he's going to learn when he sits down in a quiet space and Gerard, Andy from WEEI, there's a lot of games left to play. What are we doing the rest of the year? Like, how is this going to play out for Drake May and the rest of the team?
Yeah, I think it's if I was Gerard, and again, this is sort of like hindsight because I didn't think of it in the moment, but as you were bringing that up to me, I would have passed on that question.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have answered it. I got games to worry about, guys. I'm worried about this is Friday, Focus Friday, I believe you called it today.
Yeah,
I got to worry about getting my guys. I didn't get ready, my guys, for Chicago. We got to win a football game. We haven't done very much of that lately. So that again, hindsight, but I would have, that's probably the right way to go with that one. And I would say you're starting to see, and they've been a little bit more open about it, because even though we knew this was a rebuild, and at times they've, multi-year rebuild, the younger players, you design a play for Jaheim Bell to start the game the other day. Javon Baker, who not necessarily has earned his right to be on the field, is starting to get on the field a little bit more. You know, he's now talking about Jalen Polk has gotten over that mental hump thing or whatever it was, and we're all saying, really? Has he? Because he got penalized twice and was targeted once and whatever. But like Leighton Robinson, being reinserted at right guard against Jeffrey Simmons and now going to get the start again this week, it seems. And moving Mike Nwenno to left guard. It's like they're embracing now the idea that we got to find out about our draft class. And assuming Caden Wallace, I've understood he's going to come back at some point. Assuming he gets back and he can get up to speed, I would imagine that he finds his way back in the lineup too. Like, okay, now let's see if the 8 picks in the draft class that we had, that there's something beyond the first guy in Drake May. Because at this point, none of those guys have shown you that they are capable. Robinson's probably been the second best guy. And, that's damning him with faint praise, I guess.
Yeah, I'd call it that. We're talking with Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. Mike, we saw the Bengals last night, and while we're on the subject of draft classes, I know we just criticized Mayo for this, but we're not the coach, we're radio hosts, and we want to talk about the offseason. So they're right back in the lottery again. Let's assume that they continue on the path they're on right now. The Bengals, who we saw last night, picked in the lottery 2 straight years. They got Burrow, they got Higgins, they got Chase. If they're back there with the top 5, top 3 even potential draft pick, maybe even first overall, which direction at this point, the halfway point in the season, which direction should they go?
And I heard you guys talking about this. So right now, Hunter is obviously the big name, Travis Hunter from Colorado.
Yeah.
I got to see his measurables. He's a slight dude. Like, is he more Devontae Smith than he is Jamar Chase? Like, that would sort of be my read on his body type. So I don't know that that's am I taking that guy at 1 or 2 if that's where I'm sitting? The probably the more logical thing to do, or at least to think about doing, and I didn't want to do last year, but I would consider it this year, is trading back and acquiring more assets. But then that becomes, you don't want to go too far back because you don't have blue chippers. I was actually talking with someone in the league about this, and we're like 4 maybes on blue chippers as we're kind of going through it. Like, yeah, Christian Barmore, if he comes back and he's healthy and he was what he was last year, he's probably a blue chipper. Gonzalez appears to be headed towards blue chipdom, right? But he's not there yet. Drake, obviously, very brief sample size, but you have to like what you've seen, but he's not a blue chipper yet. And Keon White, probably just from a physical domination standpoint, he's had some moments where you say, okay, he could be. But other than that, like, what are you talking about? So I don't want to put myself in a position where, yeah, I know I need more players, but I'm going to pass up on a blue chip guy so I can get picks 13 and 28 or, you know, whatever, what, seven and another second round or a future third, whatever it is. Like, you got to be careful about that because you don't want to go too far out of that range and end up with good players and not great players, because you got to start with some great players, and they don't have very many of those.
Couldn't agree more, and I think Keon White has to improve significantly before I put him into that category.
I think there's physical ability there, Andy, and I think sure. There's, even though, like, you're not getting the results, I think there have been moments where he just dominates dudes, and they don't have guys that do that, you know. So, right. Like, he's probably the furthest off of the four that I mentioned, but at least I've seen some signs that maybe he can capture that.
I know you talked to a lot of people around the league, and I know you had sort of a dismissive tweet when this news broke. Ngakoue arrives in New England. You just talked about playing young guys. What are they doing there?
That makes no sense to me whatsoever. You know, he's an older dude. He's bounced yep. around a ton. He's playing for a paycheck at this point. To me, I don't understand it. It really, like, illogical. I haven't talked to anybody there or in the league because I literally was sitting in a doctor's office when I read that, and I don't get it. Doesn't, you know, there's no sense of where you are at a roster and your roster construction to bring a guy like that here.
All right. Well, we'll leave it right there then. That's Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. Nice to have you with us today, and we look forward to talking with you again.
Yeah, I didn't call anybody a jackass this time.
No, I know. I'm a little
disappointed.
We should have set him up better. Like, anybody, are you mad at anybody in the media this week, Mike?
Did anybody ask a jackass question in the press conference today?
No comment.
No, oh, you... Bye, Mike.
All right, see you later, Mike.
Bye,
it's Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed any part of that interview, you can go back and listen to the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to WEEI Afternoons on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll get into our Bears scouting report right after Stiz gets you caught up on what's trending.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Trending. What do you think of Focus Friday, Andy Hart? It's a Focus Friday here on WEEI Afternoons. It's also a Patriots Friday. That was Gerard Mayo this morning. The word of the day is focus. It's like one of those daily word calendars, you know?
Yeah.
It seems like there's a different sort of thing, different things each day. Focus was the big one today.
Yeah.
Which, what was going on the rest of the week? Not a lot of focus, I guess.
Exactly. And if anything, I always thought Bill Belichick kind of lightened up later in the week. It was like the hay was in the barn was one of the things he would say.
Right.
Bill was big. Wednesday is the focus. And I know Gerard does the turning of the page thing, or I think he calls it changing the page on Wednesdays. But, yeah, I don't... His focus should be on winning. His focus should be on the team. It should not be on the offseason and what he's... the other thing that jumped out to me, stupid little thing, but Kyle Duggar's out again. The injury report comes out. He's out again. And after this question where Mayo said something about tightening the screws, Mike Reese goes, speaking of tightening of screws, is Kyle Duggar going to come back with that ankle? And I was like, has Kyle Duggar had, like, surgery? Are there screws in Kyle Duggar now? Where's this tightening of screws as a transition, Mike Reese?
Yeah, I thought that was weird. That's a little bit on the nose. What's happening there? I don't think he's had surgery, but maybe that's what they need to insert a screw into the ankle or something, right? Like, something. Is that what they need to do?
It caught my ear. It was a little weird. It was something that was interesting, but he's out again. Although Gerard did say he's definitely coming back this year to play, because we're going to get to that point, too. Whether it's Barmore or Duggar, or some of these guys, like, do you even want him to play? Like Cole Strange? I mean, Cole Strange I definitely want to play. If Cole Strange can come back, I want to see Cole Strange.
Any offensive lineman that you have, even though I don't think he's very good, even anybody that you have, you got to at least
I don't know what he is. I don't know if he has any value moving forward. I need to know if you're even sticking. Like, Barmore's going to be here.
Right.
So is it worth Barmore getting a couple games late in the year? I would almost say no. Get in as best shape you can, for make sure you have no injuries going into the offseason. You can have a full offseason and be ready to go next year. Same with Duggar. I wouldn't risk re-injuring something. Now you have to have surgery in February. You rehab until May. You get a red shirt on when they start mini camp. I don't like those types of things. But getting back to your question at hand, see, I have a lack of focus here in this answer. I apologize.
It's not a very good focus Friday for you today,
nope,
Andy.
Well, is this any different than any other Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, or Monday?
No, but this is Focus Friday, so, you know, you got to up the focus a little bit.
You think he's going to have that now? Or are we going to have, like, these little things? Is he going to tell us, like, these quirky, he pulled it off his calendar type thing?
Maybe.
I hope not.
I hope that it is alliterative as Focus Friday. Formerly in the Opie and Anthony show, there was, of course, Whip It Out Wednesdays. You older listeners may remember that. Taco Tuesday, you know, it really helps if it's a day
Thirsty
of the week.
Thirsty
Thursday, Manic Monday. Like, it has to be an alliteration if you're doing something like that. Otherwise, it just
Friday.
Doesn't work. Yeah, right. Something like that. But if it doesn't start with the same letter, it's like one ear and out the other. It's like it doesn't even exist.
It's not creative.
Right.
It's like, I was thinking, by the way, rhyming also works. We should have, when Giardi joins us, we should have, like, some music and some, like, noises and stuff. And
the Giardi party.
Exactly.
Oh, I thought you were going to go like mariachi or something.
No.
Mariachi, Giardi.
Every visit from Giardi is a Giardi party.
A Giardi party.
Afternoon show.
Okay.
Spice it up.
It's a bit of it was a bit of a Christian Gonzalez answer there at the beginning. It was,
But he said something. He said something. He just said it quickly and succinctly.
He did. He said it very quickly.
He didn't feel the need to elaborate on tearing down the coach.
True. No, and listen, Mike's great, and that was a good hit, and he had some good stuff to say there. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to the phones, talk to our good friend Paulie in Dedham, who I saw at the gas station the other day. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, what do you say, my good man?
How you doing?
I'm speaking of Dedham, I'm on 128 right now. I'm bumping a bump of traffic on my way up to Tingsboro to see Dedham and their Dedham football team's got up their first playoff game tonight.
Okay.
So they win this
All right, go Marauders.
Lowell Tech up in Tingsboro. It's a haul, but I know a couple of these kids. One of the guys, Ben Vogie, I'm a friend of his father's, Bobby, and another kid, AGA Panette. He's got all 5,000 all-purpose yards for Dedham.
Wow.
And I do yard work for his mother.
The Marauders so good this year, Paul? The Marauders any good? Are they competing this year?
Well,
or what?
They're not as good as they were last year. They got knocked out in the second round of the playoffs, where if they had won, they would have made it to the Super Bowl. But
gotcha. We're
still hopeful, and we're going up there to support them. But you talk about the offensive line versus with the first-round pick next year versus a wide receiver, Christian and Andy. I'm with Andy on this one, Christian. You build from the inside out. These games are still won with blocking and tackling. You got to be able to run the ball and stop the run first and foremost. Drake May will be able to attract free agent receivers where the offensive line, those offensive tackles, you got to get them early, young, and then that's when you get them cheaper. And you need that anchor more than anything. That offensive line is in shambles, has been for quite some time.
It is. You're right about that, Paulie. But wide receivers are more expensive than tackles. You know, tackles are the high-priced positions, but the good wide receivers, the Justin Jett, those guys, they're making more than the tackles, I hate to tell you. Like, if you're worried about eating up a bunch of your salary cap or whatever, which I don't really think you should be if you're the Patriots, that shouldn't make a difference this year, even if you were up against the cap, which you're not. You have, like, $150 million. But even if you didn't, I don't really think that's something they should be all that concerned about at this point, considering how little they've spent over the last however many, since 2021, basically. It's been not exactly a big spending spree. So that shouldn't really factor into it too much. But even if it did, I still would go wide receiver. I just, that to me is a tougher find. It's tougher for the Patriots to find it, that's for sure. And every time they try and draft a wide receiver in any part of the draft, wherever it is, except for in the lottery, because they've never done it before. And not since the days of like Irving Fryer and Hartley Dykes. Like, that's the last time they were drafting wide receivers that high. I'm okay going back to that. I'm okay trying that. I think that at this point, you've had better luck drafting tackles later on in the draft. You've had that in the past. You've had better luck signing free agent tackles. You haven't had any luck doing that with wide receivers. Just have the decision be made for you. That's what I would prefer. And if it's Travis Hunter, great. And not just because he's a Colorado Buffalo, he's having a great year. You're right, he is skinny. Giardi said that. He's 6'1", like 180 or something like that. But you can see how good he is. And there's other receivers out there too. There's the two kids from Texas who are maybe going to come out next year. The kid from Arizona. Like, there's other guys out there. Ole Miss has a really good receiver this year, so there's going to be other options, but I still, that's the way I would go.
The other problem that's developed here as the salary cap has gone up, it used to be, we went through a phase there where elite wide receivers were available. You could trade for them, you could get them, they would have contract disputes. Now everybody's signing their wide receivers. Their young wide receivers are staying put because tackles often didn't get traded. Tackles, Laramie Tunsil is one, but for the most part, when teams felt they got a blue chip tackle, they generally signed him and kept him. Now, teams keep the tackle and the wide receivers, as you've noted, multiple wide receivers.
Yep.
Two wide receivers don't even get free. So it's more and more in the draft. That's why something just hit me. What do you think of this plan?
Okay.
So we need offensive linemen. We need tackles. Now, the two top tackles, there's this whole, they might be guards, mine might have to move. Mm-hmm. So you trade down from the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
You get whatever you get in the sixth pick, extra first-round pick next year, extra twos. You take Will Campbell with the first first-round pick you got.
Yeah.
Then you trade back up and you take Kelvin Banks, the tackle out of Texas. You draft both of them.
Uh-huh.
If one of them has to move to guard, okay, I got a great guard. And hopefully, law of averages, one of them will be able to stay at tackle. And now we have the foundation of a dominant offensive line for the next 15 years.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm okay with that, except now you're still stuck with Kayshon Booty and Bob Douglas as your wide receivers. But, that's the Andy Hart plan is T. Higgins and getting the free agent. And I think that's a noble plan. I just think it's going to be hard to do. As for the reasons you just said, these guys don't hit the free agent market that much anymore. It's just a fact of life in the NFL these days, and an unfortunate one. They could trade. I mean, they could maybe package some of those trades and trade for a wide receiver. That's maybe a little bit more realistic. But either way, it seems like whichever way you go, you're going to be left out in the cold in the other one. And that's just a reflection, I think, of the way the NFL is right now, and maybe a little bit of the incompetence is kind of a strong word, but the inexperience of this current front office in building a team. Right?
I mean, incompetence is fine. Like, it doesn't mean they're going to remain incompetent. They didn't do their job well enough.
So far, they've been incompetent, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's,
poor
it's,
decisions, poor execution, whatever. I guess incompetence kind of implies you'll never be able to do the job.
Right.
I don't know if that's true. Although, I have questions and hesitations in that area. But yeah, so far, they have not made good decisions that have led to an improvement talent pool.
All right. Yesterday, we talked with our own Brian Frazoco about this Bears matchup, and now it is time for the Patriots-Bears scouting report for Week 9.
Ooh. Ooh.
I said it's time for the Patriots-Bears scouting report from Week 9.
He said,
Sorry, Arkan.
For the scouting report.
I got to get like an ad blocker or something, because sometimes these
ads. Oh, they hit you with the ad,
oh, my
huh?
God. It just takes the wind out of my sail.
And you can't even do the skip. They just make you watch the whole thing. I hate that. I do hate that. There's a way around that, though.
It's porn.
No, it's, doing it before I call for it.
Yes.
Maybe that.
That is it.
Okay. Anyway, thank you very much.
There it is. There smooth it is. Sailing now.
Yeah, no one noticed. Patriots and the Bears scouting report last week. What happened to the Bears last week? I'll tell you what happened to the Bears, Andy Hart. They got smoked by the Cardinals. A really bad lot. 29-9. Connor ran all over him. Not even a great game from Kyler Murray. But really, it didn't matter. Their run defense is very weak. It was their second loss in a row. And it was a bad follow-up to the Hail Mary loss, which I didn't understand this, and I didn't really get it. Brian came in and told us this yesterday.
the Hail Mary loss really left an impact on that team. Like, oh, yeah. They had won a couple games in a row. They thought they were back on track. Then that Hail Mary happened, and it's like it took the entire wind out of their season sails.
Yeah, they were going to be, what, 5-2? Is that right?
Would have been 5-2.
Instead, they're 4-3. Then they have a hangover. They're 4-4, and they are floundering, and now they hate their coach, and their wide receiver's walking off the field, and that jackal is walking off the practice field when he finds out he's not part of the game plan. Yep. The whole thing. No, they're a mess. That play.
That happened so fast. They went from, wow, look at the Bears. They might actually be good. Now, up Hail Mary, and now they're panicking. Full-blown panic in Chicago.
Life comes at you fast in the NFL, baby.
It really does. Roma Dunze showed up in that game. He had over 100 yards receiving. That's it. You didn't really get anything from Allen. You didn't get anything from Moore. You didn't get anything from Kmet. He's having a down year. And the running back, too, the kid they got from DeAndre Swift, who they got from Detroit. Not very good. They recovered two fumbles in that game, too, Andy, and they still lost by like 3 scores. So that tells you something right there. League ranks on offense. They are 28th in yards per game. The Patriots are dead last in yards per game this year. In points per game, Bears a little higher. They're 19th, averaging about 21.5 points per game. The Patriots, 30th, averaging 15.7 points per game. I know that May's only played 3 games, but oh, my God. 15.7. This has really been a continuation of last year, hasn't it? Like, last year it was low. It was like 13 points a game. But they really haven't improved
in terms of putting
up points.
It's like a 3 to 4 year window here of just abysmal offense that we've had to watch.
I know.
Awful.
It's really bad. Like, bottom of the league bad. Yep. On defense, the Bears are 12th in yards allowed. Patriots 25th. Points per game. Chicago Bears, they've been good at this. Only allowing 18.5 points per game. That's 5th in the league. The Patriots are 21st. Offseason additions and subtractions, they had a big offseason. They fired most of their assistants. They fired both coordinators. They fired Getsy and then hired Waldron, your buddy there from Tufts. And none of that's really worked out all that well. They kept the head coach and redid all the coordinators, which we'll get to that in a second, but I think is not a good strategy. They extended Jalen Johnson. That was a good move. They traded Justin Fields for a sixth-round pick, or a conditional sixth-round pick, I think it was. They signed Kevin Byard, the safety, who I like. They traded for Keenan Allen, which I liked the move at the time. They signed Swift. They signed Gerald Everett, who was a pretty good tight end there in L.A. with the Chargers all those years. And I'd say revamped their offense in a very real way for their rookie quarterback, which I'll tell you what, I know it's not going great for them right now, but if the Patriots had done this for Drake May, I'd be very, very happy, even if they were 4-5 or whatever they are at this point in the season. That would be acceptable. You look at that and say, okay, it's not a perfect start. We're not Washington. We're not Jaden Daniels. But, hey, you got something here. This kid is supported, and we're going to right the ship and get him going in the right direction at some point back this season. The Patriots, it's, hey, Drake, save us. You're all we got. Go out there and do it.
Yeah, I don't love their roster and some of, like, Keenan Allen's clearly on the back, not nine, probably the back one or two.
More like the freshman 15 is what it looks like to him.
DJ Moore, I've always liked, but I'm not sure where his head is at right now. I do think Odunze is going to be a good NFL wide receiver. They definitely have a better roster than the Patriots. Like, some of its acquisitions and some of its acquisitions from the last couple years. Like, they got DJ Moore in the trade. They drafted Cole Kmet a few years ago. They've kind of been building that offense. They obviously drafted Odunze this year.
Yep.
So they definitely have a roster that has way more offensive weapons than the Patriots.
Yes, no they less. Certainly do. Not a ton of offseason drama. They were drafting first overall, so I think everybody was pretty excited about the offseason and all the other things that they did. They did, though, have coaching changes, but not really. It's kind of like the Patriots. Not exactly one for one, but it's similar in that they moved on. It was like the inverse, like a bizarro Patriots. They move on from all the coordinators. They keep the head coach. The Patriots move on from the head coach, but keep his, not coordinators, but people who are on his staff and bring them along. And I think Bears fans are frustrated by that. The fact that you got this new quarterback, but instead of starting him off with a new coach, you're keeping the old guy who no one really liked and trying out new coordinators to see how that fits. And I don't know. I mean, I kind of sympathize with Bears fans. That doesn't seem like a particularly good strategy, especially now where it seems like Eberflus has lost that locker room.
Well, I'm I never think that's a good idea. I don't think they should have kept the head coach. You brought in a rookie quarterback, number one pick, marry him up with somebody, probably a young offensive mind head coach that you're hoping you hit on. And that pair is together for the next foreseeable future. Instead, you keep a holdover defensive coach. You generally, when head coaches replace both coordinators, it's because the owner said either they go or you go, and it's some weird like last ditch effort to save their tenure with the team. And I don't even know if it's ever really worked. It just seems like a terrible plan.
Yeah, for the most part, I'd say it's a pretty bad one, and it's going bad right now. I don't think that they're a lost cause or anything, but it's amazing how Brian yesterday, he's like, I think they're going to lose this game. Like, people are really concerned they're going to lose to the Patriots. If you're a Bears fan listening right now and you're worried that the things are off the rail, don't worry. If you lose to the Patriots, then you worry. Like, that's when you do that. All the wins they have this year are against bad teams. You've beaten Carolina and Tennessee and all these crappy teams. You don't worry now. You worry if you lose to the Patriots. That's when you're allowed to start worrying.
Part of their problem is I think they have a ridiculous schedule coming up.
They
I
do. Believe. They got their whole division like over and over
Green
again.
Bay, so after the Patriots goes Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, San Francisco, Minnesota, Detroit, Seattle, and Green Bay. You have one winnable game. It's Seattle.
Yeah.
They might lose out the rest of the season.
They might.
If they lose to the Patriots, they may not win another game this year. They may finish 4-13.
Division games, though, you know? I mean, as good as those teams are, they are division games, and you never know what's going to happen in them. Anyway, here's some players to watch. How about DJ Moore? He's not had a great season so far. He's still very talented. Roma Dunze, both those guys, wide receiver. Allen hasn't been good this year either. I still think he's a good possession receiver. Cole Kmet. I mentioned Jalen Johnson, the defensive back. Byards. I like Edmonds, their middle linebacker, too. He's pretty good. Anybody else that you're looking for on
Kmet,
Sunday?
Kmet, to me, is the guy to watch out for a big game. The middle of the field. Patriots defense in the middle of the field has been a problem. No Kyle Duggar. No Jabril Peppers. You got Hawkins and whoever else. Marte Mapu. My guess is they put... I mean, I don't know. Do they put... is DJ Moore banged up? Do they put Gonzo on Adunze or more, whatever. But if I'm Caleb Williams, I'm looking to work the middle of the field with Cole Kmet till they stop me. I think Cole Kmet could have about 12 catches for 150 yards.
Okay, I think I smell a prop bet. There you go. Former Patriots and Bears crossover this year, not a whole lot. You got Byron Coward over there in Chicago and Amir Speed. You remember him? Seventh round pick a couple years ago. He's in Chicago as well. He's like a rotation defensive back for them. And that's it. Not a lot of crossover there. But now it is time for the moment you've all been waiting for. Really the grand finale here of all this, the part everyone likes. That is the all-time Patriots Bears team. And this one, surprisingly or not surprisingly, I would say, is pretty defense heavy. Your quarterbacks, Doug Flutie, your starter.
Oh.
He was in Chicago and they checked nothing. I just forgot he was ever played for Chicago.
CFL legend.
Certainly was. He'll be backed up by Brian Hoyer. Not bad there. Nice little couple of little guys, but you know, that's fine.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Thank you.
Running back, maybe can't see over the line, but you know, whatever. Your running backs are Cordarrelle Patterson, who I consider a running back. He was a wide receiver for a while and just like a return guy, but now he's a straight up running back. Tony Carter, who I don't really remember, and Mark with the C. Edwards, who I feel like has played for every team in the league. Tight ends, it's pretty good. Marty Bennett.
Yep.
Marv Cook.
Matthew Marv Cook played for them?
He did. He played for the Bears, I think, 1 year. And Matthew Mulligan. Remember him, the kid from Maine?
I do remember Matthew Mulligan from Maine.
Yes. So decent little tight end room there.
Yeah.
Wide receiver room, not quite so good. It's led by Brandon Lloyd, who had a brief stint in Chicago. After that, you ready for this? Greg McMurtry.
Ooh. Brockton's own, right?
Brockton's own, that's right. Damir Bird.
Oh, yeah.
N'Keal Harry.
Oh.
Michael Timpson.
Oh. Yeah, not great.
Tough.
Not great.
Like the Chicago Bears most years, not a great wide receiver room.
Yeah.
Offensive line, there wasn't a lot. The Bears go back a long way, so there was some like in the 60s that I didn't recognize, so I just went with Riley Reiff and someone named Bob Hyland. And then on defense, you got something here, all right? How about this defensive line? Mark Anderson, who I like. I know you don't.
Yeah.
Ted Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Byron Coward, Akeem Hicks, a couple of edge rushers right there. Then Rosie Colvin.
That's a good front.
Brian Cox, Daron Harmon, and Brandon Merriweather.
That's a good defense.
I'd take that defense. I'd take that defense today.
I mean, that defensive front would have a chance to be dominant. They could stop the run. They could put pressure up the middle, pressure off the edges, especially Rosie Colvin pre-hip injury when he got here. That's a good defensive front.
I like
that's
that
definitely
front.
The strength of that team.
Oh yeah,
the monsters of the Midway.
Absolutely, the all-time Patriots Bears team. You know what I loved about Rosie Colvin? My favorite thing about Rosie Colvin
his
is
cupcakes.
When I don't know about that, but I liked when he'd be on the field and someone would like an offensive lineman would jump, and instead of pointing at him, Colvin would just run up and deck the guy like every single time. I mean, just and they're not allowed to do it. They changed the rule and they changed it because of him. I said that to him on Twitter once. He's like, you know, they changed that rule because of me. I was like, no, I didn't actually, Rosie Colvin. Thank you for informing me of that, but that's true. And I used to love that. The guy would flinch and just, boom, here comes Colvin. He decks him, bowls the guy over. He used to do that all the time.
Yeah, he was a really good dude.
Not
really,
allowed to anymore.
Really nice guy. He opened up a cupcake shop in the greater Indianapolis area, as long with like a UPS store, and the cupcakes were phenomenal.
Really?
He brought some to the combine when we were there 1 year. The moistest. Oh, such good cupcakes.
All right. Well, I'll have to look into that. There you go. That is your Chicago Bears scouting report here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll wrap things up next with Odds and Ends. Odds and Ends are brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car could be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K and the number 4. I just saw this in the break. I didn't really even have much for this segment, but I saw this in the break. And it's one of the more oddball, disturbing stories I don't know if I've ever seen, but maybe involving an ex-athlete. Have you seen this Lamar Odom thing?
I have not.
Lamar Odom, who's had his issues anyway. I mean, right?
Yes.
Like we all sort of know about Lamar Odom. I thought he'd kind of turned his life around. I'd guess maybe not. This is in page 6 yesterday, and it's been updated today. I'll just read you the headline. Lamar Odom buys custom love doll, models it after ex-wife Khloe Kardashian. Okay. Do you want me to even elaborate, or I mean, can we just leave it right there? Can we Mike Giardi this and just sort of like stop after the headline? Because this is unbelievably well sourced reporting, by the way. Lamar
okay,
Odom
to know.
Purchased a custom love doll and okay. requested that it resemble his ex-wife Khloe Kardashian. The former Lakers star paid a visit to the Real Doll facility in Las Vegas on Tuesday after seeing the dolls advertised in the news about a month ago and, quote, instantly knowing he needed one for himself. This according to his manager. Why would his manager tell people this? Why would his manager be calling TMZ in page 6 and saying, you know, Lamar, I don't know if you remember Lamar Odom, he's a sixth man of the year. He's recently become aware of these realistic love dolls, and he has to have one. Can you write that in the paper?
Story for
Can you.
You
print that in the paper, please? that our client who I manage is it needs to have a sex doll, and also it has to look like his ex-wife. Can you please
so could
write
I
that?
Be skeptical, like maybe they're trying to get on some reality show and they're trying to increase his Q rating, his popularity, his
I suppose
or something.
I don't know if this is going to help with that. Per photos and videos obtained by TMZ, Odom beamed while getting handsy with several clothesless life-size dolls in the warehouse, describing one as bad. Which, Andy, the kids these days, if a girl's good-looking, they say she's bad.
Oh, so we're back to that.
We're back to that, yeah.
Wasn't that Michael Jackson in, like, the 80s? You're bad. Wasn't bad good?
Yeah, no, bad. Bad meant bad in the 80s. But now, like, if a girl's bad, she's, like, really good-looking. And he was saying that to describe a sex doll.
This is more sad, I would say.
This is very sad.
Once you've had the real thing, I got to feel like the fabricated doll is not really going to
You would think, right? Odom ordered his doll to come with curves and a face similar to the 40-year-old Kardashian sister because that way he can do whatever he wants with her.
That's not...
This is like dark now, right? Like this isn't. It was funny at first. Now it's like, okay, now we've got a problem here.
And even if you,
his
think
representative
that...
told TMZ that his manager,
right,
wrote that in an email or said that over the phone to a news outlet.
Yeah, that's very strange. Because even if you think that, why would you share that?
Right. Why would
him
you
or...
want any? You, I would take that to the grave.
Correct.
If that was ever something that I did.
Certain things that are private and whatever.
Right. And that's not something I ever would do because I can't afford it. These dolls sell from $8,000 to $20,000. However, Odom got a discount. Now, I wonder if that discount...
That's why.
That all comes
something
together.
To do with it there.
That's how he got the doll. I publicize it.
I did the Cars for Kids read Stiz.
Oh, all right. Good. Sorry.
Telling my ear. Do Cars for Kids. I did it. A professional, sir.
I think that was an off-air conversation.
Maybe it was. Doesn't matter. This is the end of the week. It's Friday. It's a long weekend coming
up. Focus Friday. Finish. We got another minute.
Yeah.
the reps for Kardashian not immediately available for comment because they were probably vomiting repeatedly. The $8,000 to $20,000. Wasn't he? Didn't he almost die in like a
yes in that famous brothel in Nevada?
Right. Yeah. They found him like bunny unresponsive, face down on the floor of a brothel.
Yep.
What was that guy's name? Hawks?
Same way Grandpa went. You know. I don't know what the name of the place was, but yeah, that's you think he should maybe move out of Nevada? Like, I think that might be good for him to get out of that state, maybe go to the Midwest, a nice, you know, little small town, meet a nice girl, or maybe just move there with your Khloe Kardashian sex doll and just stay under the radar, stay out of the limelight. I feel like Lamar is just too much potential for damage to happen in
Vegas.
Too
much temptation for him there.
Seems
too much
that
temptation.
Way.
Buy a cabin in the woods with your doll.
That's a good idea. That's all the time we have here. I want to say thanks to Mike Giardi. Great job today, Stiz. Andy Hart, we'll talk to you on Sunday at 10 o'clock. That's when WEEI Football Sunday begins. And, of course, don't forget about the Six Rings postgame show, which is coming up right after the game on Sunday, and also a halftime show as well. Make sure you keep it for all of that. Also, who do we got coming up tonight, Stiz?
KJ.
KJ solo on a Friday night. All right, stick around. Keep it going for KJ. We'll talk to you on Sunday, and we'll be back on Monday at 2 o'clock right here on WEEI.
See ya.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.